Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast, where we take a behind-the-scenes, intimate look at surgery from leaders in the field.
All right, and we are back with Behind the Knife on our episode on how to match. So Behind the Knife focuses on general surgery, but the field is expanding and the ways to match are ever increasing. And so we reached out to one of our listeners here. His name is Matt Chia. He just recently matched into integrated vascular, and he was helpful enough to help break down all the different integrated matches. Welcome, Matt, and let us know where you're going to be training next year.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Longtime listener. I'm happy to be here. I just graduated from the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Peoria, and I'll be doing vascular surgery as an integrated residency at Northwestern University in Chicago, Illinois.
So, Matt, one question, you know, I think back, I mean, just in my general surgery residency, it's kind of a joke among some of my friends, is that I've changed my mind about five times into what fellowship training I want to do. Mm-hmm. How, as a third or fourth year med student, did you know that you wanted to go into vascular?
Well, for me, the decision for vascular came actually before I started medical school. I had the opportunity to work in a hospital, actually in the ORs, and I got my first exposure to what vascular surgery was during that time period. And when I went into med school, I kept things open. I knew I wanted to be surgical on some level, but I didn't know that I could commit to it until I really put myself into the clinicals. So I wouldn't say that it was anything particular in my third year that made me say, aha, this is definitely the moment. It was just a gradual realization of what vascular was and continuing that forwards towards the fourth year.
Awesome. And now from a kind of a broader perspective here, if you're a third or fourth year med student out there, you're about to do some of your aways and you're trying to figure out, you know, what you want to apply to, you know, you want to do something surgical. What kind of just overall general principles should you take into account when considering applying for a director / integrated program?
Well, the integrated programs are pretty different from the general surgical programs as far as the application is concerned. The most important part is you have to be 100% committed to that particular subspecialty. As you suggested, it's perfectly natural for trainees to change their minds over the course of their residency. But when it comes to these integrated programs, you represent maybe 50 or 100% of that entire program. So it's a disaster for the program if their resident switches out of that and they have lost essentially their entire resident cohort for the year. So the most important thing, if you're considering these direct programs, i.e. thoracic, vascular, or plastics, as it currently stands, you have to be completely set on that one subspecialty.
Hey, Matt, this is John. And while we're on that topic, you know, is it good to get involved early? Are these programs looking for, you know, the person coming into their second year of med school and wants to do vascular right away? Or are they okay with people waiting to their fourth year to apply to these integrated programs?
A lot of the other students who interviewed with me this year for vascular surgery were going through it in the traditional way, where they decided around mid-third year or even late into their fourth year that they wanted to commit to vascular. That's perfectly understandable, and not everybody has the opportunities to discover what they're going to do for their entire lives before medical school. So it's perfectly reasonable to make that decision a little bit late on, but you have to be 100% confident once you make that commitment.
And will you be a general surgeon after your vascular training?
So this is one of the important things to consider, is that no, I will not be certified in general surgery when I finish my residency. Traditionally, if you went with the 5 years of residency and then the two-year fellowship, you get a certification in general surgery plus an additional certification in vascular surgery. As opposed to the training method I will be doing, I will solely be focused in vascular surgery. So I will not be able to get a license in general surgery once I finish my training.
Awesome. So I think we should start just breaking them down. So we have vascular, thoracic, and plastics. How many vascular spots are there? You know, what are the programs consist of? And even you can tell us exact specifics from your program, kind of how much general surgery, how much vascular surgery, and how long you'll be there total.
Sure. So I'm obviously, vascular surgery is very near and dear to my heart. It's something that I'm going to be going into. And currently there are 56 seats. That's 56 spots across the country, across, I think it is 47 or 46 different institutions for integrated. That is the 5-year straight residency programs. And what that training consists of is currently the iteration is 24 months of general surgery, and then the remaining 36 months being dedicated to vascular. Traditionally, the last 2 years of your residency are completely vascular surgery, essentially your chief years. But then how those 24 months are distributed across the first 3 years can vary from some programs. I know Pittsburgh packs it in right at the beginning, just 24 months straight of general surgery, and then you go straight into vascular from as a PGY3 onwards. To what we're doing at Northwestern is that we get 4 months of vascular every year for the first 3 years, and then the remaining 8 months of those years will be focused on core general surgery, which can include rotations in surgical critical care. I'm doing a surgeonc rotation as well as a plastics and a thoracic. So it's not just straight general surgery services either.
Great. And did that influence how you ranked your programs, kind of the setup of them, or is it more location and people you're going to work with?
I think it's more the location and the people that you're with. The structures of the programs are very variable, and I think that each of the program directors have put a lot of thought into how they wanted to train their residents. I wouldn't say that there's any one correct way to do it, and it's not prescribed by the Society for Vascular Surgery or the RRCs exactly how the general surgery training has to be packed in. So I think it's a matter of who I was interviewing with, what the program was like, and then putting my faith in the system that they had in place to train.
Matt, how will these programs interact with the current fellowship programs that they have right now? How will these, you know, how the residents, you know, a lot of these programs already have, you know, the general surgery plus the few years of vascular surgery, you know, how's that going to work out?
It's a great question. A lot of places you'll find a lot of variability to the way that programs are dealing with it. At Northwestern, we're maintaining both programs. So we will still be matching a fellow most years that are coming up. And we'll be also having one seat of the integrated residency. So we're maintaining both paradigms. And I spoke with my program director about this, Mark Escondari, and he said that this was a deliberate choice because he finds that the relationship between the fellows coming in with that really heavy bulk of general surgery training have a lot to teach the integrated residents, and versus the integrated residents have a lot of that endo skills early on, getting into the cath lab and getting into the hybrid rooms early. And there's a lot of good cross-talk and cross-learning that really benefited the program. That being said, there are some other places that have eliminated their fellowships and moved entirely into the integrated residency model. So you'll find both ends of the spectrum and everything in between.
And so as a general surgeon, I still have a chance. Are there still spots out there to apply, and how many?
There definitely are, especially in vascular surgery. There's a national shortage of vascular surgeons and people able to do vascular procedures overall. So the fellowships are still out there and are still the main method by which vascular surgeons are trained. I mentioned there are 56 vascular surgery residencies, the integrated programs, but there are 121 fellowship seats in this past match in 2016. And that's been very stable for the past 4 years, at least the data that I have. So the fellowship's certainly not going anywhere in the field of vascular surgery as compared to, for example, thoracic or plastics, where things are a little bit different.
Well, I think that's a perfect lead-in. Our next one we were going to talk about is thoracic surgery. Before I talked with you, I didn't even know there was an integrated fellowship for this. So can you tell us a little about some of those programs?
Sure. So thoracic surgery is what we, for the junior med students who might not be clear, thoracic surgery is surgery of structures in the chest cavity. So that encompasses the cardiac surgery as well as surgery on the lungs and on the mediastinum. And so this is something that's very popular as, and I guess sometimes vascular surgeons are even confused for thoracic surgeons. They'll say, oh, are you, do you do bypasses? Well, we do, but not exactly on the heart itself. But this is the one of the newest general surgery integrated programs that has started very recently. It's the smallest, as you might imagine. So there's only 37 seats in the integrated program. And their program is actually a 6-year program that they've decided as their paradigm for how to train thoracic surgeons, as opposed to the 5-year program of vascular surgery. I think that lines up as well with vascular surgery fellowships being 2 years and thoracic surgery fellowships being either 2 or 3 years usually.
And so is there such a thing as the accelerated programs, and what does that mean?
So with both thoracic and vascular, actually, they have these accelerated or early specialization programs. These are, I guess, halfway between the integrated residencies and the traditional fellowship and residency and general surgery residency paradigm. So for vascular surgery, there are only 3 programs that will do 4 years of general surgery followed by 2 years of fellowship. So it's essentially an accelerated pathway into the training, but most programs have bought into either the integrated paradigm or the traditional paradigm. And similarly for thoracic surgery, they have accelerated 4+3 programs, so a 7-year total program, and there are 9 programs that have bought into this paradigm, which is again sort of halfway between the integrated residency and the traditional general surgery plus fellowship.
And are those graduates, are they eligible for general surgery as well, or like similar to vascular, or not? Or sorry, are they not eligible for general surgery?
So for vascular surgery, if you do the early specialization program, you are eligible for both a general surgery and vascular surgery certification.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For thoracic surgery, I believe that's the case, but I haven't been able to pin that down.
Okay.
The information is not exactly readily accessible for me.
God, that seems disastrous to have a chief or an upcoming chief leave and go into a subspecialty and be without a chief, and especially in some of the smaller programs. But maybe that's why they're not as popular. But
I think so. I think it definitely throws a bit of a wrench into the timing of staffing and having your house staff available. So I think that may be the reason that more programs have opted into one or the other paradigm and not these sort of halfway in between paradigms.
Definitely. The last one to cover is plastic surgery, and this one's been around for a little bit. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, so plastic surgery is a little bit different from thoracic and vascular in that they have labeled their two pathways as the independent and the integrated pathway. But both of these pathways are essentially similar or comparable to what you have in vascular and thoracic. So the integrated pathway is just like it is in thoracic or vascular, where all of your years of training are done under the plastic surgery umbrella. And this is something that a med student would be able to apply to straight out of medical school and try and get into. There are 151 seats this past year in 2016 and 67 programs. So that is the traditional integrated, not traditional, but that is the integrated pathway. The independent pathway is where we would normally lump the traditional fellowships, and that's for residents who have completed training in any number of fields to include not only general surgery, but also orthopedic surgery, neurosurgery, OMF surgery. So anybody who has completed their residency and is board eligible in that specialty can then also apply to the independent plastic surgery residencies, and then they will receive 2 or 3 years of plastic surgery training and be then board eligible for both their original subspecialty and plastic surgery trained.
Yeah, I found that fascinating that orthopedic surgeons and urologists can become fellows in plastic surgery. I've run into a few of them out there, but
that was something that surprised me too. But I spoke with one of my classmates who matched into plastic surgery this year, and he mentioned that a lot of plastic surgery is not just what you typically think of remodeling of more surface structures, but in to include things such as bony manipulation, distal radius fractures, cranial vault anomalies. So it makes sense that if you're dealing with something like a cranial vault anomaly, if someone was a neurosurgeon desiring to specialize in that, that they could easily translate the skills they learned in neurosurgery to operating on the soft tissues of the face and the skull.
Yeah.
So I, from that perspective, I guess it, it made a lot more sense to me.
Absolutely. And the one thing I've kind of noticed with plastic surgery, doing my burns rotations and a few different things, is the practice of academic plastic surgery is so broad compared to the plastic surgeon that you might see out in your local communities. You know, mm-hmm. They take hand call, they fix, you know, like distal radiuses and do burns and do such a wide variety of procedures. It's quite a fascinating specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt, let's get down to the dirty part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you're able to find this information for us. Let's break it down. What kind of step scores do I need? I really want to be an integrated. I don't want to go through 7 years of general surgery to get into mm-hmm. one of these programs. How hard do I need to study for my steps? Are they important?
I would say that step one and more and more these days, step two are become critical metrics in what the program directors are looking for out of their candidates. And so step one and how you do overall in your academics as evidence potentially by membership in the Academic Honor Society, Alpha Omega Alpha, or AOA, these are extremely important. And I would preface this to say that all of the residencies this year had an extremely high match rate. General surgery this year filled 99.6% of its seats, vascular filled 100%, thoracic filled 97.4%, and plastics filled 99.3%. So none of these programs are going... I hate to use the word, but none of these residencies are going begging for candidates at any set. General surgery maintains its very high level of competitiveness. In 2014, the mean step score of people who matched into general surgery was 232. For vascular, it was 237. And for plastics, it was 245. And so you can see that there's just an incremental step up in competitiveness for your step one. I wouldn't say there's a vast chasm between any of these integrated candidates and the general surgical candidates. It's all a very select pool of applicants, but there is definitely a slight step up when you're thinking about competitiveness in terms of step scores. And that's also evidenced by AOA membership in general surgery. 15% of the members were AOA, in vascular 23%. And plastics, it was 39%. So you can definitely tell that there's a little bit of an increase in terms of the academic competitiveness on paper of the candidates who go into these integrated residencies.
From your personal experience, was research desired by these vascular programs?
Definitely. And I would say that this is across the board. I had a classmate who matched into thoracic and a classmate who matched into plastics, and I reached out to them as well. They said that being able to conduct research was extremely important, not necessarily within the desired field, because naturally, if you're doing you're doing research in your M1 or M2, you may not have decided that you want to do one of these integrated programs that early. But having a substantive research project that you can talk intelligently about and present to them on the fly, it's something that was definitely a big component at, for me, all of the 18 programs that I had gone to. It was something that was very valued. They wanted to see your ability to talk about your research pursuits and they wanted to see how you can talk about your research pursuits and how you can articulate that in a more high pressure situation.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. We were interviewing on the How to Interview podcast, and Dr. Ross was saying one of his favorite things to do is to bring up a research paper that is on your resume and catch you not knowing really much about it, kind of when you get thrown on a paper or something. So it's definitely important to know the research that you're claiming you participated in. Mm-hmm. So
I would even say this is something that had been done a few times to me, is they will bring up research that you might have done in undergrad, something that you might be almost a decade removed from, but you still have to know exactly what you did, what the main aim of it, and how to extrapolate that to a more broad audience. For example, my research was in nanomaterials and nanoscience, and I had to be able to describe that adequately to a number of fully trained vascular surgeons. It's something that's definitely you need to know every line of your resume and be able to talk intelligently about all of it.
But they probably wouldn't know, you know, if you were lying, right? So you could have probably just talked about what said whatever about nanoparticles and been
probably
okay.
Could have. But you should never put anything on your resume that you're not willing to give an elevator speech about.
So Matt, do you have any other special advice for the people out there, specifically even if they're applying vascular?
Yeah, one of the most important things is that this is a sort of an off-the-cuff stat, but I would say about 60% of the people in the vascular surgery matched either to their home program or somewhere that they had done an away at. And this is something that it seems to be pretty consistent across the other matches, is that they really want to take a good look at you because they're throwing all their dice into one or two seats a year. And so whereas in general surgery, aways are maybe less important, in these integrated programs, doing aways is really a great way for these programs to get a look at you, how you perform in the clinical situation, and making sure that they know that they can rely on you for the 5 to 7 years of your residency. So as a timeline thing, I think that any med student who's thinking about doing the integrated programs really needs to start thinking about committing to their specialty by the latest in November, December of their third year, because then they can start doing their research and apply to the aways starting around March or April of their third year. Then you'll be able to do aways over the summer and then submit your applications around September, October. But the timing of it is very fixed because of the importance of doing an away at a program that you want to end up at.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate you taking the time to break this down for us. I'm sure our med students out there will find this very educational on how to apply for integrated specialties. And we'll take those links that you gave us for each of the different specialties and we'll put those in the show notes so they can find them out there. And so Matt Chia, future resident at Northwestern in vascular surgery, thanks for joining us Behind the Knife.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
Until next time, dominate the day.